With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. Dave Glover Show 505. Happy Friday. My guest is Scott Cooper, local boy and former Cardinal third baseman. Hello, Scott. Nice to meet you.
Absolutely. And somebody did the research and knew that that was my favorite song.
Oh,
of course.
There you go.
We're not screwing around here. We know what we're doing.
Scott, awesome.
Scott, my 94-year-old Cardinals-obsessed mother says hello. You are always one of her favorites.
Oh, well, tell her. Absolutely. Thank you very much. I'm glad she got to. I don't know what I did to be your favorite player, but tell her thank you.
So most everyone listening knows you, but for those maybe young ones out there, tell a little bit about your story, how you came up into the big leagues.
Okay, yeah, I got went to Pattonville High School, got drafted, was going to the University of Arkansas to play football and baseball, and got drafted by the Red Sox in the second round, so I decided to go that route. Spent 4 years in the minor leagues, loved every minute of it. You know, I remember one of my coaches said, you know, these bus rides and this, you know, it seems like that they're dragging, but they're going to just fly by like that. So kind of try to enjoy them. And, you know, looking back, man, it flew by so fast. So I spent 4 years in the minor leagues with the Red Sox and got called up to Boston, and spent, you know, played 5 years in Boston, got traded to St. Louis. Made a couple All-Star teams in Boston in 93 and 94. Got to play next to Cal Ripken in those.
Wow.
It was really cool. Hmm. Got traded to St. Louis in 95, and guess who was to my left there? I'm running out. I remember it was the most surreal, one of the craziest moments of my life. I'm running out to third base, and I'm running out, and usually I had a little bit different seat in the stands watching Ozzie do his flip. And all of a sudden, I'm looking to my right because we're both running out of the dugout, and I'm watching him doing his flip, and my cousin just happened to snap a shot right when I was looking at him. He's in mid flip, so that was really, really cool. Got to play with one of my idols there. You know, he didn't like to hear it. I do different functions with him, and I watched him growing up. He was on some of my favorite teams. Then I played a year in Japan. It was really cool. You know, I'm glad I did it. They treat you like a king over there. You know, if you're from the major leagues and you go over there, it's like, it's really, really, really cool. Language barrier stuff, but I had a great interpreter. Came back after the year in Japan, played a year in Kansas City. And then I went to spring training and with Texas and got released out of spring training there. So I've got parts of 7 years, really, really blessed, really lucky. And just enjoyed every moment of it.
So, Scott, Ripken was obviously, you know, more than a man, less than a god. But what was it about him that just made him so tough as nails?
You know, there's a few guys that walk around, you know, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, Barry Bonds, you know, Cal Ripken. You know, they're uncommon amongst uncommon men, if that makes any sense. They're walking around a group of major leaguers, you know, the best players on the planet, and they still look different. They walk around different. They talk different. Griffey was one. Man, he walking around having fun, and everybody else is like, oh, my gosh, I got to face this guy. Look, he's got a slider. He's doing this. He's going to do this to me. But those guys, you know, Ripken being one of them, they just had so much fun, you know, and he just loved to, you know. I asked him one time, I said, you know, how are you just over and over and over? Because it's so hard to play over and over and over. It's you have to be so strong physically, but you also have to get it in your head, you know, that I'm going to do this every day. This is what I do every day. There's no calling in sick. But just to be able to do that and never have an ankle that you can't play with or a finger that you got hit by a pitch with, to have that many games to be able to do that, that is so special, and nobody really, really understands that unless you go out there and try and do it every night.
So, Scott, did you literally change the way you played third base when you had Ozzie to your left? Just given his range?
You know what? The year I played with Ozzie, his arm was hurting him that year. It was a little bit different situation. But, even at his age, his range was just, it was a ball to your left, basically. You might as well. And then some, Ozzie would say, hey, I've got that one. Don't take that one anymore. You could tell he's just so fast and so quick. On top of that, what people don't realize about Ozzie is he worked harder that year. I don't know exactly how old he was, but he was in one of his last years. I think he played one more year, and he worked so hard every single day. People don't realize how good he was. Plus, you add, him working harder than anybody. That equals, a Hall of Famer, the best shortstop ever. And yeah, it just had magical range. Those guys are just kind of floating around out there, not even touching the ground. That's what it was like when he was out there.
Yeah.
Scott, what's a better feeling, making an All-Star game or hitting for the cycle?
out of those two, I don't know. They're pretty close. I remember hitting for the cycle. The funny thing about hitting for the cycle is my fifth at bat.
Not very many people can claim that, and that's a pretty awesome thing to have accomplished.
Well, I really appreciate you. I generally don't talk very much about it, but now that you brought it up, I'll tell you a little story about the cycle.
Yes, please.
Fourth or fifth at bat. I think my fifth at bat, I needed a single.
Yeah.
Okay.
The single was
and
the last one.
And I hit one.
Yeah.
The single was the last one, but it's funny how that my fifth at bat, which was the at bat before, I needed a single, and I hit one, which is looks to me off the bat that's going a home run. So I'm halfway down, and I see it hit off the top of the wall, and I didn't know exactly what the heck to do. And I needed a single.
Yeah.
And I'm going, and so many thoughts went through my head right then. I'm going,
stop
at first, but the game's not completely out of reach. If you stop at first, there's two outs, and the next guy hits a single, and you don't score because you're going to first,
yeah,
and you wanted to stop there. You're selfish. And so anyway, I went to second, scored, and then the game got completely out of hand. And I remember I was like fifth up, my last at bat, and a couple guys made it. I didn't even know if I was going to get a chance to. And it's funny to talk about this because the guy that I faced was David Howard, who was the shortstop. So a couple guys make errors. I get a chance to go up, and I need a single. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, he and I just texted back and forth yesterday about this. He said his son pulled that up, and he said, "Hey, look what you did, Dad! You gave up the cycle to Scott Cooper." So anyway, he throws me a knuckleball, and I nub it down the third baseline. It barely goes foul, and I look at him. I said, "Are you kidding me? You throw me a knuckleball right there?" He didn't know I needed the cycle or anything like that. He's trying to get me out. He's trying to throw me a knuckleball to get me to whiff. He could care less about a cycle. So the next one, He tries to sneak by me, and I happen to hit it up the middle, and that's the
you
that's
almost
the old,
got him back because you kind of buzzed the tower on that on the single. You know what I mean?
Well,
you kind of almost got him back for the knuckleball.
That's kind of what he gets. Karma came back
there
and got him to get him. Karma got him.
So Scott, it's not been
that's
that
awesome.
Long since you played, but in that short amount of time, how has the game and how have the players changed?
It's just a different type of game. It's just, I believe that I played in a really, really great time to play in the big leagues. I look at my time in Boston. I look back and being able to play with, the some of the Cardinal greats, and it's just, I'll tell you one thing. When I was in Boston in the minor leagues, it seemed like Boston was like so far away. You didn't even get talked about going to Boston until you put in so much time and effort, and then all of a sudden you might, they might start talking about you and this and that, and you know, it seems like now you get drafted, and you know, it's a little bit different. They're trying to get you up there to see, you know, they've got a bunch of these guys that throw real hard and some guys that are trying to lift the ball and do some things that they get rushed up and figure out what's going on. It's just a different game. There's a way, it's a lot more analytics. The video was just coming in. You know, I watched a bunch of video, the old VHS baby, but, it's just a different time period. I'm not saying, you know, it's better or worse. I'm glad I played in the era I played in, if that makes any sense.
It does.
But with social media, with, you know, these guys have got such a, you know, a microscope on, can't do anything wrong. You can't do, you know, some of the things that were, shoot, I don't know, even set in the dugout when I played. Some things that happened between players,
sure,
in the dugout on the same team, you know, that wasn't captured from a camera phone from the stands. I mean, crazy stuff that had to happen for your team camaraderie and, you know, your collective team to stick to. And then the leaders were doing this and that. And so, you know, the analytics are there. It's just a different ball game, but you know, I've been down to several games so far this year, and it's been fun. It's been fun with this team. This team's got some character to it.
We're talking to Scott Cooper, former Cardinals third baseman. Scott, you're about 3 years younger than me. Aren't you glad that we grew up in an era? I was an athlete, nothing like you, but we grew up in an era where we played every sport. And these days, if you show promise, or your dad or your mom wants you to be a big leaguer, or you know, play, you know, professional soccer, that's all you play, and you just go to camps, and that's it. And I'm glad that we got to play everything.
Oh my goodness, complete agreement with that. Everybody asked me what my favorite sport was, and you know what I tell them? My favorite sport was the next ball I was getting ready to pick up for the next season.
Amen, so brother.
my you know what I mean?
By the time
I end the football season rolled around, I'd look at my basketball in my closet and I go, "You know what? I'm going to start shooting my basketball
a little bit."
And all of a sudden basketball season would stop, and I, you know, or toward the end of it, you know, last few weeks, we're going to make the play, we're going to do this, play one more tournament, and all of a sudden I'd get my glove out and say, "Hey, Dad," or my brother, "Hey, let's play some catch, let's you know, throw me some pitches, let's do some soft toss," and I'd pick that up, and it was a cycle every year was like that. So I really feel, and I've got a 13 and 11 year old that are, you know, they're not in that cycle where, you know, they're getting just pinned with one sport. They actually don't even play, neither one of them play baseball right now. They're big into football and, you know, flag football type stuff. And
yeah,
if they want to play baseball, I'll be there to nurture that along. But, you know, it's again, kids, I mean, with this COVID, with the sport, you know, trying to figure out exactly, okay, I want to specialize at this sport at 9 years old and putting these stats up in this particular organization at 9 years old. Hey, let's give them a scout. I just did a camp down at Busch Stadium, and there were two 14 year olds down there. And then they said that, yeah, I just committed to Oklahoma.
Wow.
14 years old, two of them. I didn't even start growing. I gained 2 inches and 25 pounds my junior and senior year in high school. And I'm going, you know, I was at 14 years old, I weighed 140 pounds. And these kids, I mean, they were good. So it's just, so what's going to happen here is if they stop growing, you know, and they stop doing this and stop doing that, or they get sick of this.
If, yeah, what did they
their
lose?
Their scholarship's going to get rescinded.
Yeah. That's too bad.
You know, so it's a crazy sports world we live in, but you said it exactly perfectly, and I'm complete agreement. We're really, really, really lucky to have it the way we had it.
I mean, Scott, not to sound like old men here, but we kind of had the last great childhood. Like, I have a 26-year-old and a 16-year-old daughter. Neither one of them were really allowed to take off on their bike and come back when the streetlights came on, you know?
Mm, I'm telling you, man, it's, you know, whose pool are we going over to? I mean, you know, it's just the parents are,
you know, they knew who we were. My parents knew who they were. They didn't question anything. And I lived over in, you know, a little community over in Bridgeton, right by the airport. And there was four streets, and everybody knew everybody. Yeah. On the streets, and, you know, a big playground. And, you know, it's just, it was the best of everything. I look back at my childhood compared to what these kids have today, and they have a lot, but they think they have a lot,
yeah.
But it's all, you know, $500 PS5s and, you know, like, my goodness. And I got off the bus and boom, I didn't want anybody to, I mean, I was gone, man. Couldn't, my mom had trouble getting me in to drink a glass of milk after school.
That's right. Scott, I could talk to you for an hour. We have to run. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure. I hope you come back soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. All right.
526 DGS went long there with Scott Cooper, but that was really fun to talk to him. What a cool guy. Wheeler's coming up, and he's going to be up late tonight.
Mm-hmm. Poor Kevin.
So what's going on with
poor Wheels?
Biden's Venmo?
So BuzzFeed did an investigation, and they found Joe Biden's Venmo. Venmo has this security issue where even if you keep your, and Venmo is of course an app where you share money with your friends.
Yep.
You can pay each other back. Even if you make the transaction itself private, you can always see a person's friend list. Mm-hmm. So you're able to track people. They were able to track Joe Biden through this. So Joe's only friends with like 8 to 10 people, but he is friends with Jill, who has been seen making payments to like Secret Service agents and staff members, and Hunter, who's obviously very controversial. So they're bringing this up as like not specifically this, but it does represent just another thing to worry about as far as security threats go. Anything you do online, if you're the president, that can be tracked is really sticky and really messy. So just another thing for the American people to worry about,
I guess. I'm telling you, like I was talking with Scott Cooper, we had the last best childhood. We may have the best last life.
Mm.
I'm afraid is when I die and you keep going, that it's going to be bad. Just robots and
great
stuff. Welcome back, guys. 535 DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. Kevin Wheeler's segment is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. I hope you got a nap in.
I'm pretty good with weird schedules, man. I mean, it's like my entire world in the summer is like this. You know, I mean, like now it's like baseball games during the week, and then I'm coaching on the weekend. So you're getting up at, depending on the weekend, you know, you're going to get up sometimes at 7 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, and you work the night before. That's all right. I'll sleep in August or something.
Yeah, good for you. I can't do it. I'm not
really?
That guy.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I need my sleep, but I'm really good at like moving it around. Like I don't have a problem with that.
Dave's upset hearing about it.
I really am.
I can see the concern in your face.
Yeah.
Was that a tear?
I asked Kevin. I'm like, so because the game is at 9 tonight. And pregame at, you know, 8. And I'm like, what are you going to do between now and 8? He's like, sports open line. I'm like, God! I thought you'd go to, like, Golden Corral or something. And
Yeah,
you were saying earlier, like, no one understands what it takes out of you to do a four-hour
Kevin,
show.
Kevin understands,
probably.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, like, doing out, it's different, though. Like, again, doing a four-hour show by itself is different than like 2 hours of sports and then pregame, because pregame's really fast moving and there's a lot of elements built in there. It's definitely different. I can feel it. I mean, like when I've done a bunch of stuff on Sirius XM the last year or so. You can feel it a little bit more there on some of those 4 hour shows on like Mad Dog Radio, because they're light on their spots. They don't have a lot of breaks. Breaks are like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and you're like, 4 hours. Oh my God.
Yeah. And you were telling a story that you did about 10 years of sports open line nationally, like overnight.
Yeah, yeah. I used to work at Sporting News Radio before I moved to St. Louis. It's not that anymore. It's something else. I think it's Bleacher Report Radio or something else. It's changed names a few times. But yeah, and it was just I mean, I did the overnight show too, right? So I'm doing 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and nothing but phone calls. And it's 4 hours every day, except Monday's 5 hours. So whatever reason that Monday needed to be 5 hours, they needed to start an hour early. And it was just nonstop calls. But it was kind of cool because it was kind of like your own little like Seinfeld show. Like it was, you had all these people would call in every night. It was like the characters and people would wait for them. We had a guy, Dave in Pascagoula, who we lost. We couldn't find him after the Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, no.
Like we just couldn't find him. We have no idea where Dave is.
Oh,
and he finally, like Dave's this guy too. He's the big Southern guy. Loved to brag about the SEC.
Yeah.
He's, let me tell you something. I am the greatest, Kevin. I'm the greatest. And he just disappeared. And when he called back, instead of Muhammad Ali, he sounded like a guy that had been beaten up. Like, he's just like, You guys can't even believe what I just went through.
Oh, man.
Guy got stranded in his apartment. His second floor apartment got stranded there because the flooding was up to his floor,
man.
Outside in the street. He couldn't go anywhere. He was stranded for like a week. No power, no nothing.
So would you say there are like three or four archetypes for sports callers?
Probably four is about right. Yeah, it's about right. I mean, you have...
There's the complainer.
Yep, you got the one that's never happy. You've got the one that is always happy, right? Those are definitely two. You got the one that is just has an axe to grind and brings up that one thing every time, even if it's not a subject on that day. Like, they always got to bring that thing up, whatever it happens to be. So there's like the axe grinder. Trying to think. There's the other one is kind of, you know, the other one is the other one's the gambler. The other one's the betting guy that's always got an angle, that's always got, you know, whether it's a bet or not, he's always got the angle. You can tell that mindset when you hear it.
My favorite was always, like, the hypotheticalist. Like, what if Vita Blue had been a cyborg? You're like, well, he's not.
Yeah, that's the best. Those are the best. The other one is, the people that they want to get preemptively angry. Right, like they're angry before, but even before something's gone wrong. Like, people are mad before opening day, for example. You're like, what? I mean, you got 6 months. You'll be mad later. Why be mad now? If it goes badly, you can be mad then instead of mad now.
This is your only time
to
be happy.
Yeah, like everything. Yeah, nothing's wrong yet.
We just had Scott Cooper on. What a cool guy! What
Coop
a cool guy! Yeah,
he's my guy.
Love him.
I've coached with Coop forever.
Have you
like
really?
12, 13 years. Yeah.
Putting a good word for me.
Ah, yeah, you got to ask
really
him.
Really good dude.
Yeah, you got to ask him some stories about, like, I can't tell it because there's some foul language, but he got this great story about being a kid, like teenager, and he gets pulled out of a spring game and because Ted Williams wants to work with him on something, and then Carl Yastrzemski comes around and starts to contradict everything. It's a pretty good story. I would ruin it, but it's pretty funny.
Jeez.
Plus, there's some foul language in there, too.
So, Cardinals on a good run. What are we looking at with San Diego?
So, San Diego's a little shorthanded, man. I mean, their star is Fernando Tatis Jr. He's obviously, you know, the cover of MLB The Show. He's one of the big stars in the game. He's on the COVID list, so he's out this weekend. Another key player for them is out. Will Myers is out. They've got three others that are also out, but they're close contacts and not positive, so they could come back during the series. And we found out today the Cardinals don't have Paul DeJong. He's on the injured list. It turns out that rib thing is a non-displaced fracture after getting hit by a pitch. So
it'll
let that heal for a few weeks, it looks like. But, yeah, the Padres are really good. They're really deep. They're super fun. I mean, they have fun playing the game, but they're definitely a little diminished where you think they'd be. I mean, they're still good. I mean, you know they're having a slow start, and they're 21-17 or whatever.
I was talking to Cooper about he was telling the story of being a St. Louis guy, idolizing Ozzie Smith, and the first time he ran out on the field with Ozzie and saw him do the flip like 10 yards from him. And, of course, he's a professional. He was an all-star by that point. But can you even imagine just trying to hold your water? Like, you're there next to Ozzie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hard to focus.
I would think of that, too. Like, every time you step to the plate, you'd be like, oh, my God, that's Roger Clemens. I've seen Roger Clemens. You know, like, you're about to face this guy. Yeah. And you don't have any time for any of those thoughts.
No.
But those thoughts have to be there.
Yeah.
They have to be there. Yeah, it's crazy.
The Blues? What's going on with the Blues?
So, Colorado, starting on Monday. Colorado ended up having the best record in the NHL. They finished a little better than Vegas. I actually think it's a better matchup.
Yeah.
I like Colorado as a matchup for the Blues better than Vegas. Neither of them are a good matchup, right? There's an analytics piece on The Athletic today that gave the Avalanche an 88% chance of winning the series. And even the guy who wrote it, the analytics guy's like, I don't know how the numbers got this way because this never happens.
Hmm.
So there's something in the numbers that really likes Colorado. But I like the matchup better from the Blues side for this than Vegas. I don't know why. Vegas is just too much like you, except maybe a little bit better version of you.
Gotcha.
At least the way it's gone this season.
What would you fear about the Blues if you were on the other side?
I would feel like if they get into that grind mode like they did when they won the cup, where they're beating people up in the corners, they find their physical game again. They clearly have a lot of skill. I mean, the Blues have tons of skill, but if they find that and like Binnington goes back into unconscious mode where he's kicking things out that has no business making saves on, that would be, if I'm looking at them from the outside, would be the big worries. If they turn into that physical monster that they were, and obviously if you get the goaltender going.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a Blues fan, obviously I'm worried about Colorado's high-end talent. I mean, they got some dudes.
So about 12:45 a.m. tonight, I will get up and go to the bathroom and go back to bed, and you'll still be here on the air.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, there's no way we're going to get done before 1 a.m., right? I mean, the game yesterday was 2-0, and it was 3.5 hours. I mean, there's not even any action, and it's 3.5 hours. So I would say that we're probably going to wrap up sometime shortly after 1, would be my guess, yeah.
And then you're coaching tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'll be at the field sometime between 9 and 10. You know, and it's, you know, 45 minutes from my house. So that'll be fun. But that's right. You know, once I get going, I'm fine. I'll just crash later in the day. Oh, wait a minute. Later in the day, I'm doing Cardinals again tomorrow night. So what's going to happen is I'm going to crash Sunday evening when I get done with another day of baseball. Yeah,
hard. Thank you, Kev. Appreciate you it, man. Have a good night. Welcome back, guys. DGS, just about 5:50. About to hand it over to Kevin Wheeler. Jeez, it makes me tired just thinking about it.
I know.
Dave Klein, how many steps do you think the average person takes in a lifetime? It's in the millions, I'll tell you that.
I'm going to say 70. No, that's low. I'm going to go 145 million.
Rich?
I'll say 70 million.
216 million steps.
Whoa!
Which is the equivalent of walking all the way around the earth 5 times.
What if you're like a runner or something?
Probably double that. That's impressive, isn't it?
Whoa. That's crazy.
It's crazy. Just nuts.
I'm lucky if I get to 10 or 11,000 in a day. Mm.
Do you like Fitbit it or something?
Yeah, I got my Apple Watch. It kind of keeps track of all that for me.
Well, that was a flex.
Yeah, how do you get that? I only see it sitting on your ass.
Oh, you saw me taking my walk earlier today.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. I mean, you never take walks during the day.
No, he's not working. Typically. I'm up usually at like 5 o'clock in the morning all the time working out before work. So that's what I do.
You work out until about 9?
Yeah, absolutely.
Four or five hours worth. Yeah.
I love that. Dave's like, I never see you walking during the day. He's working on your show.
No. I'm not complaining that I used to try to get 10,000 steps. Remember when I had my Fitbit for about a week? And it's tough.
It is.
It's tough
really
to get that many in.
Yeah. And I think they determined recently here that, you know, 10,000 really does not mean a whole bunch of anything. It's really how fast and how good your heart rate's going.
Yeah.
Right.
So for 10,000 steps, it's kind of, you know, doesn't mean anything unless your heart's really going.
Prince Harry says that he's known did not want to be a part of the royal family since he was in his early 20s. I know the grass is always greener. People probably look at what we do for a living and say, like, oh, my God, if I could just talk on the radio, I'd never have another problem. You would. But doesn't being a royal just seem like, not only do I want to do it, I'll kill it. Like, I'll be the best royal of all time.
Well, it seems like very little personal risk to have a super cushy life. So, I mean, I get that you want freedom and you want to be able to do whatever you want to do, but you're also living this life of extreme privilege and you're exalted above everyone else that lives in the country that you're in. I feel like I would just be grateful and happy, but it seems to be a theme with particularly these royals. Like, I want to have exactly what I want when I want it. And if I'm not getting that, I'm just going to fixate on it and move things around until I get it. Like, I watched The Crown and the whole show is about, yes, I'm royal, but I just wish things were a little different for me. So
everything I know about England, I know from The Crown.
I just started watching that and I picked up on that right away.
Yeah. The whole series is about that. The thing about Prince Harry and the media blitz he's on right now, I would just respect the sentiment so much more if you found out from like Harry's friend because Harry was off living his life. But no, you're clearly trying to stay in the spotlight and be relevant and be famous. Mm-hmm. You just want it all on, like, the only reason anyone's paying attention to you is because you were a royal. So all you're doing is talking about how horrible that was while still continuing this pursuit of celebrity.
It's the only reason you're relevant.
It just feels kind of icky and weird, but I also don't care.
You know what I find sort of not really interesting are like the third, fourth, fifth level royals, the one that we would never know.
Oh, they've got it made.
But they're out there.
Sure.
You know, they're born into some sort of a title. I had to pay for mine. Do you know this, Dave?
You had to pay for a title.
Yes. You can buy a title. It's about $1,500. You get a 20-centimeter by 20-centimeter plot of land in England so that you're a landholder, and I'm officially Count of Chocula.
You are making that up.
Rich. It's not. It's real.
That is not a real thing.
And I can pass it down. It's very sexist, but I can pass it down to my son.
Yeah, not his daughter, but his son.
So when I die, He will be the Count Chocula.
Did the Queen have some sort of ceremony for you?
I don't think they like it. I don't think they like this loophole, but it exists, and so, yeah.
Dave, I now pronounce you Count Chocula.
I wonder if they know who Count Chocula is.
Probably not.
Probably not, yeah. Probably not.
I wonder how the Queen's doing, you know.
She seems okay. Yeah. Like, she's getting out there, and she's on Tinder, so, you know.
I swipe right.
How do you not?
I mean, me too, honestly.
Right. How do you not?
You're just stupid if you don't.
Besides the Queen, which of the royal family would you most want to go to like a long dinner with and like really get to know them?
Probably before he died, Philip was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to have a conversation with Prince Harry. I see the flaws in his logic right now, but he seems like a cool guy, a nice guy.
Who bores you?
William. Sorry, William.
Yeah, he's boring. Yeah. I want to go to dinner with Charles.
Me
honestly.
Too.
Oh, yeah, that would be pretty interesting.
That well's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Do you guys know, this is so apropos of nothing, but I consider myself pretty well read and I'm a history buff and all this. Did you know that like the Sphinx was painted? Like I always picture that like they built the pyramids in the decrepit state they're in now, you know? Huh. But the pyramids were covered in white marble and you could see them from miles and miles and miles away and had a gold cap at the top. And the Sphinx was all completely painted. Most of it was red.
Like, I had no idea.
That's cool.
Babylon. I always think of Babylon as just being ruins. No. It was an amazing, amazing place. King Nebuchadnezzar built the, I forget what the gate is called, very famous gate, 40 different times. Built it, tore it down, built it, tore it down, built it, tore it down. Ended up building it out of cedar instead of stone.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Just nuts, isn't it, to think that thousands of years ago, you just walk up and there's the big, giant red Sphinx.
I wonder if Nebuchadnezzar's kids were like, man, I just wish it wasn't like Truman Show every day. Got to be royal.
Seriously? Red Sphinx?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.